Hey, trust me, it's fine. It's fine, sweetie. It's fine, kiddo.
Okay, we're rolling. We're ready. Let's go.
Let me ask you one thing before we start this.
Yeah.
Okay, I know the date now. And it's 917. Because today's March 9th, 2018. I got Farghini in the studio with me. I got Buddy in the studio here with me. I'm Alejandro. And people, let's talk about cars, yo. Now hit it, Buddy, Pedro.
I love the live intro, by the way.
I know. It makes it so much better.
Yeah.
There's something about this live thing at a studio. Yeah.
And I just want to announce that we have officially trademarked it, Hit It Pedro. So I know we mentioned it
before.
I just
want to
remind people,
thank
no
you,
funny business, no monkey business.
Thank you, no more ESPN quotes.
Yeah, we sue.
Yeah.
Whoa. Don't have to get so serious, Farghini. Wow. Wow, why are you so upset?
I'm upset.
You forgot that we didn't celebrate your birthday on Wednesday? Yeah.
It's your fault, though.
Jeez, yeah, exactly.
It's your fault.
Look at you guys.
We didn't do anything wrong.
Matching hats? Aw.
It's our Tata hat.
There's no more of them.
There's so no more.
Is it done? Like,
No.
When do you shut it off? How many more
at
hours
2 p.m.
do you have?
2 p.m.
2 p.m.
Yeah.
Exactly.
2 p.m. So how many posts do we need to do today before 2 p.m.?
17 immediately.
Please, everyone, please.
So I wanted to start this podcast, and I wanted to talk about what everyone's been asking us to talk about, which is Geneva.
Geneva Auto Show.
Is
that a stripper?
That's a great stripper named Geneva.
Yeah. It was really funny. I was talking to somebody about Geneva a few days ago, and they were like, oh, you know, what's going on there? And I was like, oh, well, I really wanted to go to the Geneva Convention. And I was like, oh,
the Geneva Convention.
That's exactly what I did. I was like, oh, I've always wanted to go to the Geneva Convention.
So on a completely different note, on the same note, but on a different place, because the Geneva Convention is not the place that we're talking about. We're talking about Geneva, the motor show that just happened. So for those of you guys who might just be brand new to the channel or are new to the car game, the Geneva Motor Show is the biggest convention where all car makers get together and bring their hottest, nicest, newest, latest, greatest, and the greatest cars you can possibly imagine.
Hashtag GIMS.
Boom. That's
Geneva International Motor Show.
Okay. I was like, I don't know what that is. It sounded like an insult. It sounded like Guido.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
Well, it can't be the Geneva Auto Show because GAS owns the trademark to GAS, Galpin Auto Sports, GAS, right? Do you think that's what's going on there?
No,
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So at the Geneva Show, all the car makers bring their latest, greatest technology and their greatest, latest cars that they're about to release, they're unveiled, or cars that are already sold out and they're just releasing finally to the public those cars. And there's a lot of great cars that came out. I don't think we've had a Geneva like this one in a while.
But last Geneva was kind of boring, right?
Last Geneva was kind of shit.
This is the build up.
This is the good one. Because the year before, though, the one that Buddy and I attended, we had the Chiron debut, which was insane. We had Zenvo. There was many, many cool things that came out.
This one was action packed.
This one was really action packed. And Buddy, what car would you like to talk about first?
The first car it's not the first car that I'd like to talk about. It's the first set of cars.
Okay.
Because if you didn't know yet, this is the first time that we've seen the Aston Martin Valkyrie, the McLaren Senna, and the Mercedes Project One. All in the same building, all in the same place.
Which one?
One location. Honestly, you want to know who I thought won? I think the Valkyrie took away, like, stole the show.
I think
the AMR Pro of the Valkyrie stole the show.
I'm going to tell you something. There was not a single picture of that Mercedes Project One.
No.
I actually didn't know it was at that show.
No, not one picture.
I'm embarrassed
picture.
To admit this.
But that was the race car, though. That's kind of not fair. Look, that's not fair.
But the actual Valkyrie was there as well.
So do you want to tell us what the Valkyrie is?
Okay, so the Valkyrie is Aston Martin's it's their collaboration with Red Bull to take on the hyperest of hypercars. Like it is the spaceship of cars
it's
right
the
now.
Red Bull of cars.
Yeah. It is. I mean the car has wings.
But well done, Farghini.
But they also have a track only version called the AMR Pro, which is for Aston Martin Racing. I believe I'm just guessing
on
that. So the AMR Pro version, and it was the electric acid green color with like
love it. That's like, their signature.
Oh, it's the same color as what the Vantage was launched.
That's
as.
Right.
And they're also doing an AMR Pro version of the Vantage, which is insane as well. But what I heard is that car is like 1.2, 1.3 million.
What?
Which is a little ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very, very
for
expensive
a Vantage?
Car. For a Vantage AMR
it,
Pro.
Are they going to make it look like
it's
the
a track
Senna?
Car. It's a track
but
car.
But hang on. Are they going to make it like Senna-ish?
Like Senna GTR-ish? I mean, it's going to be like a GT3 Vantage.
That's insane. Yeah. That's a lot of money
but,
for
but
it.
But in a million?
It's a lot. It's I know, a that's lot a lot of money for it's this. It's a lot of money. Yeah.
I'll just take a stock one for like 180, no?
Yeah.
Take it to Abby, change the suspension, the coilovers.
But there's also a lot of there's a lot of dealerships I know in the UK who do have allocations to the Valkyrie that they pretty much saying, look, you have to get the Vantage AMR Pro to get be a part of it. Like I wow. that's confirmed.
That's really? Confirmed.
Yeah, you have.
Who's running sales? Ferrari.
they all are doing the same thing right now.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
all are. All car companies are trying to get into that.
They want to see. They want to see who is the loyal customer with their pocketbook.
It's kind of weird, you to be honest I mean? With you. I'm not going to play into this game.
No, you can't.
I've seen it a million times happening in front of my eyes with the Ferrari and then Porsche. I know where this is going.
By the way, somebody's calling in.
Let's take it.
No, I'm not taking it.
We gotta take it.
Get out of here. What if it's like a random woman from another show? It's like, yeah. I want to talk about it. My husband's abuse.
Can I hear if you want to be my lover?
What do you look like, lady?
Playing all your greatest hits.
So the
Valkyrie. Like, not to get off topic, but the AMR Pro Valkyrie blew my mind. That absolutely blew my mind with how beautiful that car looked. I think it was the most stunning vehicle that was there.
Yeah.
It reminded me of when we were there of the Pininfarina hydrogen concept.
Yeah, the right? big, yeah. That was a great looking car. It's a shame that Pininfarina, all of the cars that they put in their stand, never get made.
It's true. I think they're a brilliant design company.
Because they're just a design company. Yeah. But, they're brilliant. It's so expensive to launch a car line. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Basically, what they're doing is showing off what they can do to get another job.
No. Well, this is Pininfarina, homie. You call Pininfarina and think about this. Think about it this way. You want to launch a brand new car. You want to create a brand new car. What is the easiest way to go about this? The cheapest way is get Pininfarina, who already knows how to make cars and has pre-made platforms already. You go to Pininfarina. You get one of those pre-made platforms that they have available to themselves. You get a badass design. And then you black out the interior or do whatever interior that you want that looks futuristic, but it's super cheap to build. And you take it to one of these shows. You present the car. You talk all the bullshit that you talk about, all the crazy specs and whatnot the car is going to do. And then you hope that people give you deposits. That is the cheapest way to starting a car company, aside from what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is absolutely the cheapest way to get that going, trial and error and all that stuff. That's why a lot of these cars that you see that come out of, like, any major design house are great lookers, but never get made. Aston Martin brought the heat, huh?
Yeah, dude, that car is amazing. But we were talking about Pininfarina, and I had a question for you.
Hit me.
I don't remember, but how was the Pininfarina designs received for the line of Ferrari cars that they did?
It was great. It was Ferrari at peak glory when Pininfarina did all of those cars.
Yeah. They still do some of the cars. They have some kind of agreement that they have to do.
So that agreement is still in place. I didn't know if that agreement is still in place.
They don't do every single car, but there are
cars. But here and there they do touch. Yeah. Okay. And you see the Pininfarina thing on the side.
Of course. And that's why I brought it up. I wasn't sure like how that relationship is received amongst Ferrari owners. Yeah. And, you know, if they look at it like, oh, you know, it is the Pininfarina Ferrari, but it's not like, Ferrari.
One of the chassis that Pininfarina has in stock is like a 599 chassis, for example.
Yeah.
That's why you saw that. V12 that looked like an Enzo-ish 599 car that came out of that Japanese design house.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if Ferrari owners and customers look at Pininfarina as like, oh, that's not a pure blood.
No. It's the opposite. It's like
the one that you want
because of the history they've had together.
Okay,
Enzo. I'm not saying all of them. But yeah, they say Pininfarina great cars all around in the Ferrari lineup for sure.
Interesting. It just now hit me.
It was a great legendary designer, dude. I think they're having financial issues,
like major ones, I believe.
Because how many people can go get a car made anymore? And why would you need them when anyone can do CADs on their computers and all that stuff? But they do have the experience. They are. If next year we wanted to put a car on the Geneva show, give me $400,000 and we can make it happen.
And they make them one of the most gorgeous lines of cars out there.
Yep. Yeah, that's why. I would go, like, if I wanted to just, like, I'd go to Pininfarina and do it. Because why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's kind of... Give them the Raptor.
This is what I'm going to do. Once I have like disposable money to really just shit $400,000 out the window, I'm going to have Pininfarina design me a car for every Geneva that never gets made.
That's amazing.
But it has to be ridiculous. Kind of like the ones we have at gas. Yeah.
I mean,
like
there's companies that are doing car. That. There's companies that are doing that kind of stuff now at Geneva.
I know, but they do it because they really think they're going to get the car or they're going to steal people's money or whatever
anyway, Farshad, what about you? Was there a car in particular that stood out for you?
I like that Mercedes AMG GT, because to me, that's the closest I can get to it when it gets to Avi's lot in about 8 years.
Which one? The AMG GT4?
The GT4 four-door, two four-door, door, two-door.
The GT63,
coupe.
Right?
GT four-door coupe 63S.
Okay. I think they're going to wind up just calling it the GT63.
Really?
The AMG version.
I hope so.
I mean, look, we called it the GLE 63, right? I mean, it had a long name, but it was the GLE, the GLE 63. That's essentially what's going to happen. AMG this coupe. Is the GT63.
I think in the industry, they'll just say GT four-door.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I like that car, too. So it's the regular
AMG. Did you see the interior?
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
That's different level interior.
Mm. Yeah. When is that going to be available to the public? Next year, right?
I have no idea. I'm assuming the way that Mercedes works, they usually work pretty quick. Yeah. I mean, whenever they release a car, they usually work pretty quick. Aside from, the Project One, which is, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
to Mercedes' defense, that was out really quick. It just wasn't out here
in the States.
Actually, I was watching Parker's video of him seeing that car in Geneva, and he was saying, oh, wouldn't that be cool if they made a Black Series or R version of that? Do you think they would ever do that?
Of the GTR or the four-door?
No, the four-door.
Because that would be pretty bad.
Why not? The Panamera has done it.
My opinion is I think that's where we're going with sports cars.
Mercedes is going towards the Porsche lineup because no one has been battling Porsche for a long time because not a lot of people realize the huge market space that they're taking over and how appealing those cars that they have that no one else has are.
Number one,
Panamera. Yeah. Do you remember the Rapide came out?
Yeah.
Huge flop. The Panamera came out.
Yeah.
Wait. What are they? Which car were they copying? The Panamera is the one that got copied. By the Rapide, but it was the Rapide and another car that copied
BMW,
and he bombed.
The six series is basically a copy of that,
kind
of, or more CLS.
I can't,
but just so we're clear, this car is a hyper CLS. Does that make sense?
I understand. I'm just saying.
Do you agree
that these spaces that Porsche creates are very coveted because there are needs for those markets.
Yep.
There are needs. Like the Cayenne, dude. I'm sorry. You don't have to go that far. Yep. The Cayenne, then they did the Panamera, then they did the GT3, which, by the way, Mercedes is going after the GT Series and 911 and GT3 and the RS with the GTS.
Yep.
The GTS is their 911. Yep. The GTR is their GT3.
Yep.
Their GTR Black Series is going to be their GT3 RS.
Yep.
And now this one's going to be their Panamera. And then they're going to do all these variations to compete with the Panamera Turbo and all of those.
Mm. And do you know what I love about all this?
Yes.
Is that they do it in an AMG way.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? You get it. If you like the Panamera,
you
like
the AMG
GT3,
version.
You get an AMG version of that.
Yeah.
Now, do you think AMG's ever going to spin off and become their own company?
They are. They're doing
basically,
this.
Basically.
I think Mercedes is creating that value right now, and that's why you have the AMG GT. Like, if you look at these cars, they're building Porsche with Mercedes emblems as AMGs.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the play that AMG is trying to build. They're going to go after the Porsche lineup 100%. Which might go and compete against everyone else too.
Which it makes sense for them to do because
they have the ability to.
They do, and we're already seeing some sort of success with Volvo spinning off into the Polestar.
Polestar,
1,
yeah.
Which to me was another really, really exciting car.
Oh man! So Polestar is Volvo's all-electric performance division, if you will. That's like the AMG, the M series of Volvo. And they decided they were going to do it all electric, all comfy sports cars, but they don't look like Ferraris or like Audi R8s. They're big coupes right now. Like that's
like
the
GT
Polestar 1.
Of.
That's what we're looking at. Like big GTs, comfortable cars, quick, very safe and beautiful. Beautiful designs.
Yeah, so the Polestar 1, now that it's actually been unveiled at Geneva, like the actual car, it's become a hot commodity in the automotive world. Next week, they're going to start taking deposits on that car, which is it's a $3,000 deposit, believe it or not.
That's not bad.
Do we know any prices?
The prices on it it could be as much as $185,000.
Yeah, they're going
is
like
what they're talking
all
about.
Out.
So the final price, all-wheel drive, 592 horsepower plug-in hybrid, around 150,000 pounds or 150,000 euros or
wait, it's a plug-in hybrid?
Yeah.
It's not an all-electric?
Uh-uh.
I thought what? Polestar was just all-electric.
Yeah. So it's the Polestar 1 will be the brand's lone hybrid, and then the other models will be pure electric vehicles.
Oh, okay.
But the interior is not done by IKEA, right?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
The interior, if it's done by IKEA, I mean, this is the best IKEA has ever done. It's beautiful.
And if you could put it together like that.
Do you have to put the interior together when you get the car?
Can I tell you something? I'm actually into putting IKEA furniture together.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's a weird thing. I don't know if I talked to you guys about this, but there's a group called the Dolmens Club. Did I send you guys the link to it?
No.
There's a group in Britain. It's called the Dolmens Club, and they're not boring, but they're just dull. Like there's these guys. They're into old city water fountains. So they take pictures of all the old city water fountains, or they collect spoons, or just things that they're into. And I'm into putting IKEA furniture together. So I think I should be in the Dolmens.
That's your thing.
Are you good at it?
I'm really good at it.
Can I tell you,
whenever I buy IKEA furniture, that instruction manual that comes with it, I throw it out and I just throw it all together.
No.
That's some real fucking cocky shit.
But I've told you guys that's the way that my mind works. Like, I have to be hands-on and figure it out and just do it. Like, my dad's computer, the Packard Bell, I took it apart and put it back together because I wanted to know how it works. It's just the way that I am. Like, I'm wired that way. Like, I need to see all the pieces and how they connect.
So is that a yes or no with us asking you to help on?
Absolutely. I will. As long as you guys help haul the furniture.
No.
Should we do an IKEA?
God damn it.
This could be a good for the vlog, right? We do a IKEA run in some kind of car and see how quickly Buddy can.
Can we do an IKEA integration?
Oh, we could do a contest. Which one of us can build an IKEA thing better without instructions?
Did you guys ever see?
No, he's going to beat us. You're setting us up for failure.
How about this? He has to use the instructions. It'll slow him down. He's like, what?
No, what if we did it this way? What if we, the way that the contest worked is you start outside IKEA. You have to run through IKEA to get the furniture that you want, but you get it out of there and you put it in your car of choice and you have to get to the destination and build it.
We all have pickup trucks.
Actually, yeah, that could be a great one, right? We start out at the house in our own vehicles, and whoever can park, whoever can get in there, buy it, do all that stuff.
The problem is once you get me in IKEA, I don't know if I'll ever leave.
you like to stay in Brad.
I love it, man. It's like a maze, and then you stop and get the Swedish meatballs, and look, it's a whole thing. Guys, I'm sorry, we're getting completely off topic here.
Balls? What's that movie, Night at the Smithsonian or whatever?
Night at the Museum.
Night at IKEA. It's like Buddy.
Buddy's going to be there. All of the furniture becomes alive.
We just shifted into radio mode. I'm sorry. We're getting completely off topic here. Okay, so let's reel it back in. The Polestar 1. So after it's been unveiled, it's become so hot that they originally were only going to do a limited production of 1,500 models. Now there's a lot of demand, and they're saying that they could ramp up the production. But what does that mean for the overall pricing, though? Are they going to leave it at the $185,000?
Yeah, of course they are. Of course, dude.
Well, look at this. If the demand at the $180,000 price was strong, why would you change the price?
Yeah.
So can I ask you guys this question? How do you think Tesla is going to battle back against these mega sedans?
Now, people and a lot of manufacturers haven't caught up to or realized that they all need each one of their models to be electric. Like, the S-Class should have an all-electric model that has multiple ranges. The E-Class, same thing. The C, same thing.
But we're not there yet, homie. You know that, right?
Now, no. But VW is positioning themselves to be the first one to do that. VW, yeah. By accident. Yeah, it was pure accident. But they did that. So they have the bus, they have the little car.
They're going to murder with that bus.
They're going to kill. They're going to absolutely kill. VW is doing all of it to make up, put up a good face and be like, no, we didn't fuck up the world.
But look, what I don't understand, though, with the Polestar thing, though, is that they're saying it's $185,000, but it's 100% a subscription service, and that they're not relying on big dealerships, and that the communications with customers are going to be direct. Like, that's what's confusing to me. I don't understand how they break that down.
They are, as they're going right now, figuring that out right now themselves.
Yeah. Mm. Most likely, guys, don't worry. You're just going to talk to Ivan.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
So all in, is the Polestar 1, is that one that you would put down a deposit for?
But how much is the subscription?
They're still figuring
what do you think?
That out.
I think it's going to be a $1,500. By the way, do you notice in the industry? It's
$1,500 for everyone. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Because you can't come out like...
We're
going to
do a $14.99 special. Everyone. I mean, who else was doing the...
Well, Porsche's doing it.
The Porsche subscription. Cadillac. Cadillac's also $1,500.
BMW.
Mercedes. Audi's testing it, too. Mercedes.
Oh, by the way, they all are going to have to test
You have to. Look, it's the same as the movie industry. Like,
yeah, you have to move. I'm this is the most exciting thing about the automotive industry for me, is being able to, like Parker said, lease a brand, not a car.
Yeah, of course.
That's a dope thing, dude. 1 year, like, I'll commit to you for 1 year for this brand, and I'll take all your products. That's fine. That's a dope concept,
you can commit to five brands at the same time and have all the products.
Yeah.
Mm. It'll look like a salamandering garage.
Actually, you know what? What is an Aventador lease? Like $10,000, something like that? You could take that $10,000, right? And get six of these subscriptions and actually ball out with. Do you not agree?
No. This is why buying cars is a liability now, because this is an element of depreciation like crazy. It's that time in a lot of things right now that we're switching from the individual purchase to the collective one.
Yeah.
And it applies in multiple mediums, digital, actual like goods that you can touch and grab, like cars and all of that stuff. And right now it's at that point. And with cars, this is what makes me so nervous about buying a car right now.
Yeah.
There's too many of them. There's too many. They're too good. I'm glad I'm buying them for the rental fleet, though.
Yeah, look, I'm glad you have this problem and I don't.
but it is. Now, I wanted to get myself a $1 million car right now, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's making me nervous.
Alejandro,
really nervous.
Let me tell you something. With $1 million, you could have these every subscription thing in the universe.
Well, that too, but it's making me nervous. Just the idea that there's going to be so many cars, so little clientele, because we all can do this. And the reality of it, it's way more appealing. As someone like myself, I'd rather have the 20 subscriptions and have all these cars than have one Aventador.
Yep.
I see the value. It's crazy.
Yep.
What about a $1.7 million car?
Which one?
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
What about a $1.7 million car?
Can I explain why I love the number 1.7 million?
Go for it.
Because in the year 2000, 2003, Bugatti came out and said, we're going to put out the craziest fucking car in the world. It's going to be the most horsepower, the most cylinders, the most turbos, the most everything, and the most expensive. And the Bugatti Veyron was born. 1,001 horsepower, 16 cylinders, four turbochargers, and all luxury goods inside, right? And they did that. And they priced it at $1.7 million. And that was the first time I said, holy fuck, that's a car I'll never be able to ever, ever buy or even see, whatever. That was that standard. And then 1.7 became that's why it became such a legend number, because there's never been another car priced at that. Think about it.
And obviously 7's your favorite number.
7's my favorite number. Yeah. And now the next is... Which one are you talking about?
The reason I said 1.7 is exactly the reason I like served it up for you. Like, what other car were you excited about for Geneva?
The Rimac C2, baby. Exactly. The Concept 2. Exactly. That's the code name of the car. So Mate Rimac is back at it with the second version of the Concept 1. And He's back at it again.
It's actually not 1.7. Because after all the incentives and credits and stuff for buying an electric vehicle.
It's 1.69.
how much credits are you going to get back from California?
It's actually 1.690.
Zero? Okay. But just know you don't get some
credits. All you get is $10,000.
Yeah, you get credits back, right? Yeah. Don't forget. Also, tell your accountant.
If you apply for that credit, you have to fit within a certain tax bracket. Yeah. So on the 918.
Put it under my name.
On the 918, I think, I can't remember what car it was that they were like, just get it, like Tesla or the 918. I can't remember which one qualified for that one.
Oh, it was the Model X. That was the whole thing.
And it was just going to be like bad if I just submitted my financial information to get
that. Why didn't you put it under my name?
You don't need this. Huh?
You should have put it under my name. I would have qualified for sure. I might have gotten double.
So Tesla came, I'm sorry, Rimac came back at it, and they build a monster this time. The design is insane. It's got the proper doors. They go up and they open up like the 720S doors.
Yeah, beautiful butterfly doors.
Active aero all around. It's all electric, and the numbers are just, staggering. Yeah. We were talking about it on the podcast, actually, and we got it pretty close.
Oh, the radio show. Oh. Yeah. The podcast.
That's when we set it up. So it ended up with 1,888 horsepower. That's right. Almost 1,900 horsepower. 0 to 60 in just 1.85 seconds. Take that, Tesla.
How about the torque? Close to 1,700
pound-feet of torque, right?
That's like taking three of your Rolls Royces and putting them together.
And three or four G-Wagons. With the V12 engines, the 65s, dude. Like, that's insane torque. Mm-hmm. A top speed of 258 miles an hour, he said?
That's it.
Oh, my God.
The best part, like you said, is it has more range than most...
Than most cars. Yeah. Double the range of
400 miles.
400 miles of range, which is double of a Bugatti Chiron.
That's the most impressive.
On a charge, let me just say that. It also has face recognition software.
That's
and cameras.
The next thing that I wanted to talk about.
You're coming closer to the car. Well, you're getting closer to the car and getting to the door, and then it looks at your face and goes, opens up the doors and immediately knows who's about to get into the driver's seat. And, you know, your profile's right there, stored. It's brilliant.
Wait, did you say 400 mile range?
Yeah.
403-mile range.
Oh, I know why. He got that technology from Fisker. No, he did. Really, he did. He did.
Oh. By the way, Fisker is betting that he's going to get these batteries for sure.
No. Fisker's like, ours will do 600 miles.
Now.
By the way, that 258 miles an hour, that's electronically limited as well.
On the Rimac.
On the C2.
Yeah.
That's limited at 258.
It can do more.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt is insane. And also, it drives itself.
Mm-hmm.
It drives itself, people. You can, like, in the future, when you're allowed to, hopefully if the law allows to, you can go to a restaurant, get incredibly fucked up, get out of your incredibly super expensive car with the door that goes up and then the door that goes down while you're hammered and someone throws you into the driver's seat and the valet's going to put, take this dude home. And then that car, with his sweet looks, he's going to take you home.
I'm sorry, officer. My car is giving me a ride home.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how incredible epic is that? And if you don't want it, because you're a purist and you like to drive and you're better than that, you can also drive it all the time. Yeah. It's amazing. You don't have to put on the
autopilot. I can't wait to see what it sounds like.
But that's the thing. Is like the concept one,
man. It actually sounds cool.
It sounded incredible.
The concept
one. It really did sound incredible.
It did.
It still sounded girthy and mean. Like it
did.
Like
it really did.
The type of sound that you would expect in a Star Wars spacecraft, like,
yeah,
that's what you're getting.
I like that.
It's awesome.
I think it's really awesome. I do like that sound too. He did so much to the car, and also he added, like, for example, he added a lot of gimmicks, which is success right now in the car world.
Of course.
Because we've all gotten the car. We've all gotten the 6-speed, the 7-speed, the 10-speed.
We're at 10.
You know what I mean? We're probably at 12 with some car makers. Like, we've gotten all the speeds. We've gotten all the manual cars. We've gotten all the automatic. We got all sorts of everything. What's next? And the next thing is gadgets, right?
Yep,
on your car.
Yep.
Just like on your cell phone, dude. So the fact that Mate added
the face.
Forget about the face recognition, dude. A driving instructor to the car. So you can get on a track, do your thing, and then the car will tell you, no, homie. If you want to do this right, you got to go here, and the steering wheel.
The steering wheel will actually nudge.
Yeah, it's going to show you everything so you can take the next lap better and better and better so you can become faster and faster.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the car arrives at the track, you put it in track mode, and it recognizes which track you're at, and it gives you the suggested lines on that track.
How insane is that?
Do you know what racing is going to be in the future? Everyone's just gonna line up, and you just kick back, and you go.
No, not even. They're already doing it. Like it's remote control. Actually, yeah, it's robot racing. Like you see, like these electric vehicles, and there's nobody inside of it. It's
all
just
VR.
Remote controlled.
And why can the drivers also? Because it's dangerous. If you're driving at that speed, you can kill yourself. So why not just put yourself like some cool ass VR goggles, get in a simulator, and just fucking rip it?
So you're saying like on the Indy 500, all the drivers are at home like this on a.
At some point, it will.
It's there now, but these guys, they're taking it even further than that to where they're creating a robot that is constantly analyzing the scenario of the track that it's in and its surroundings, and it's reacting based upon that, where it's you don't have somebody actually controlling it. What you created and made with your software is put into play, and it reacts based
AI,
on its
baby.
Environment.
It's just learning.
That's racing in the future. Whoever has the most coding, better coding.
Yeah,
absolutely. Those are your new. That's new money, man.
He's coming down the line. His codes are good. His code wins.
I don't think they're going to narrate the thing like that. But
codes?
That essentially is it. And the Rimac Concept 2, which, by the way, the C2 is just the code name for the car. It's going to change. It's coming in 2020. And at $1.7 million, it seems like the most appealing one of them all right now.
Wow.
Looks-wise.
Gorgeous.
And also,
gorgeous.
What other car is coming out before that or at that time that can compete.
When is the Roadster coming out? What year?
2020.
2020.
What a battle that's going to be. That's not really a battle. It's two different price brackets.
It's two price brackets, but I got to see. I want to see what the difference in the value is. Because I don't think Tesla's going to cheapen out on that car either.
Look, I think it's going to be like fake luxury in a way with the Tesla Roadster. Like it looks awesome. It looks futuristic, but the more and more you settle into it, you're like, "Oh,
it's going to be value engineered." It's going to be value engineering.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But even at that point, you're going to make the choice. I see the value in the engineering here because they added so much and you're doing it for so cheap. Let's pretend that it has a Model X interior.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
At $250 with the performance, you're buying the performance.
You're not going to complain much.
But that's what I'm saying.
But the thing, though, is with the Model X, that minimalist style makes it feel luxurious. It's not necessarily luxurious. It's just a style.
I agree. But that's what I'm getting at. So at that point, once you see what the proposition of value is, you'll say, oh, okay, then I'm willing to pay the 1.7 for the big boy car. Yeah. Or because the deposit for Mate's car, I think, is around the entire price of the Roadster.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. It absolutely is.
You know?
Yeah. But you know, the Roadster.
And here I was like, oh, I'm going to invest in crypto.
But the Roadster is like the BMW, the M. You know, like, remember we discussed, like, yeah, the M's are cheaper.
Yeah, no.
But you're getting more performance.
But hang on. You want to see what Elon Musk does. I don't want to say that I understand what he does because I clearly not. He's got a further vision than we do.
Yep.
You know, he can see way further than we can.
Well, he's got rockets and other kind of things.
That's right. I mean, literally.
It's true.
What the fuck?
It's true.
And his vision, we don't know what the fuck he's planning on doing and where he wants to take this. I see what he's trying to do, but I definitely don't see the end point of that game. And we don't know where he wants to take this. Because what if he legitimately just gives you fuck you interior, like, deliciousness?
He could.
What if he does? Could. And also remember, by that time, generation 2 of old Teslas is going to be coming out.
Of course.
You know what that means? A full redesign, a full everything. The first cars that we saw on the road, the Model X, the Model S, all of those, these are first-gen cars of a brand new company.
I think that redesign is going to be based upon the Roadster. I think the Roadster comes out.
I agree.
Design language we're going to see.
But this is why I'm saying this could be a huge, huge improvement on the line. And I'd be really... Look, man, I'm all about value. Whoever brings me the most value and obviously something I got to love, I'll take.
Yeah.
And I think these two have both they both have what it takes to make us happy and to add value and whatever. I mean, Mate's already added so much value. That car destroys the Bugatti. I was legitimately having this conversation. We were talking on the radio show and I was saying, oh, yeah, the Bugatti this, the Bugatti that, the Bugatti this. And now I think I can buy that. And... all of the sudden, let me tell you why I was talking about Bugatti since we're talking about this. During Geneva, Bugatti unveiled the Chiron Sport, which is basically the same shit, except it saves 18 kilos. Is it 18 or 28 kilos, buddy? I think it's 18.
I think it's 18 kilos
because it's ridiculous.
And then they did the handling pack,
which is like 35 pounds that they shave off the car. And then they did a handling pack so that the car on a track can do, on a long track, I can't remember what track they used as a reference, that car can go 5 seconds quicker than the other Chiron. Mind you, no Chiron owner tracks their car. No Veyron owner tracks their car.
Because no one has that much money.
It's rare.
No one's got that much money.
No. And then you push the Veyron. We were pushing the Supersport. Three laps, brakes were on fire. Like on fire. And you know the bill for that.
Oh,
the tires.
Oof.
The wheels.
Oof.
So the oil.
Oof. Well, unless you get it at our place.
At our discounted place. But you know what I mean? Like, those people don't take their car to the track.
No.
So all Bugatti did with this edition, which, mind you, it's great. It's another pitch, like another year to remind
people. But they
people,
have like, to do that every
that's
year.
That's what I'm saying. So what they're doing, it's another pitch to people to come back and buy the new and whatever. And then you can also create a market so that your people that are first buyers can become second buyers.
Right.
Yeah. But what it opens up is... the first car is going to depreciate.
Absolutely.
Like right now, that car is depreciating. As we speak, I can hear the bank account go with less money. And when that opened, I was like, oh my God, Bugatti just gave me the shot that I needed. Bugatti just gave me the depreciation that I needed so that I can buy the car end of the year. And then we started talking about the concept too. And you know, oh, it's got basically, it accelerates from 0 to 60 almost a second faster than the Bugatti, and it can do a top speed like this, and it can drive
range.
Itself.
It has a bigger, longer range.
A double the range. It can do this. It can do that. And then you start listening to yourself, and you go, wait, well, why am I buying the Bugatti? For real.
Yeah.
Can you please remind me?
There's no other reason to buy it at that point.
Wait, let me ask you this. The interior of the Chiron, which is spectacular, most spectacular.
I agree with it's your gorgeous. Sentiments here, yeah. But after seeing the interior of the C2,
yeah.
it's a whole other level.
This is what I'm asking you. What is your take on
it? I actually think the C2's interior is way better. Because interior, to me, has grown into a very big part of the car that I want to buy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and we talked about this on Wednesday together. Rimac, at that price and everything that they're doing, they have to be able to offer this as a very bespoke car. Like whatever you're buying, you should be able to customize it to your want and your needs. And I hope
he does
that's what's happening, right? Because
he'll do.
Okay, perfect. Because that's what you need and that's what mm-hmm. you want. Like that's the difference between this car and the Tesla Roadster, and also the difference between this car and the Chiron. It gives you a reason. It gives you a reason that this car fits perfectly in the middle of both of them, because you get the ultimate performance, but you also get the ultimate customization of luxury.
What about Pagani and what about Koenigsegg? Let me just refresh your mind 1 second. The BC is $3 million.
Yeah, there's.
That's $1.3 million more.
But it's the same for the Koenigsegg as well. What's the Regera, like 2.8, 3.2, somewhere between there?
The Regera brand new was almost $2 million.
Okay.
So whoever got it at sticker paid almost $2 million. But mind you, this car is going to be, I mean, it is already better than the Regera. I don't know, listen, the Regera is not out officially, but to me this is a better solution. I'd rather have this than a Regera today.
Yeah. Look, we've only
Look at that interior, man. Come on.
We've only experienced the old model Koenigsegg's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The CCXR, the CCX, like that's all we've experienced.
Yeah.
I would love to see how big of a difference the new one is compared to those, because if it's similar to what the old technology is or the old engineering is, it doesn't hold a candle. Not even close to what Rimac is doing. Like the Concept One is his first car.
Look at the interior of
it was awful. It was awful.
No. But now the Regera, even the Regera interior, is nice.
It's nice.
But
yeah.
But which one's better?
It's nice. The Concept Two, the C2.
Okay.
The C2, absolutely. The Concept One, meh. But the C2,
even on the exterior,
the C2 looks beautiful.
The C2 might. I mean, to some, this is a personal preference. I like the C2's look more than the Regera.
The C2 has some Chiron elements too, with the way that
I think there's a lot, but there's a lot of elements the C2 that where it kind of reminds me of a lot of different cars. Yeah.
Even the F1,
yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the F1.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah, there's a lot.
On the back, a 720S, the mm-hmm. door, 720S. The front, Rimac Concept One, a little bit of a Jag, a little bit of a Tesla.
A little bit of 918. A little bit of 918.
Yeah. Oh, and but in the whole car altogether, it does look like a Project One.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what the proportions are. I don't like the C1's proportions, just because I'm a big, tall guy.
No. And it had an awkward roof that he bent in a weird way. And Mate said it himself. Like, you know, that was his first shot, his first everything. And he had to work on the interior hard so that everyone, even if you were a taller guy, you could fit in the car.
Yeah.
But it's just they need to drop the seat more and all that stuff. Yeah. But on this one.
What do you think the proportion will be?
He said that there's no question. This is like you're gonna fit perfectly in the car. That was the first thing he told me when we started talking about this car.
What about length though?
I don't know. I didn't ask him about that.
I wonder if it's like a 911 size or is it like a?
I'm guessing it's like a Pagani like. No, because those are long. I'm guessing it's just like the 720S. To be honest with you,
that those are great proportions.
That looks just like that. Yeah. Like it reminds me the ass, the front, the sides, everything to the 720S. It's very strange because it's like all these cars layered into this one. I don't know.
You get a little bit of everything.
I don't know. Yeah. But I am in love with this. The Chiron, though, on the other hand, I love. I adore. That's a symbol status.
But of course, that's a status symbol. That's a lot to be spoken of. You know, like we had this conversation before about Ferrari, about why I like Ferrari is because regardless of what the car is doing, it still is a status symbol.
Yeah.
You know, it's still an aspirational type of thing. And a Bugatti is a level way beyond that.
Yeah. But at the same time, I myself, even though I understand and I enjoy like buying myself shit like that every now and then with cars, I don't like that much. I'm not into the...
No, of course.
Even though in a way I am, no question about it, at that level, I don't have to get like the biggest. I don't need to show people what's up.
But when you like something, you love it.
No question.
You know what I mean?
About
like
it.
When you like something, you love it and you go for it. Yeah. You know? So that's another thing to aspire for.
By the way, that makes a lot of cars very special, and a lot of people don't think about that. When I bought my Huayra, the reason why there was a multitude of people that showed up to all these places when the Huayra showed up and all that shit was because they saw the love I had for the build that
absolutely.
I built it. How much I loved the car when I saw it and I sat in it and everything that it meant to me, because he was also the first type of car like that that I was able to buy myself. So that's, in people's eyes, that's what it was. Then the people, the guy who bought my car from me was expecting that he was going to become the most famous person in social media because he thought that car did that for me.
Right.
But it's not the car. We make those cars.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I can buy a Bugatti tomorrow, and if I hate it, people are going to know because it's going to show on my face.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be into the Bugatti because of that. We're just an element to let people know through us what the experience is like. And they're the ones receiving, really, the feeling.
Yeah.
So it's important that it goes hand in hand with that. That's why, to me, it doesn't matter if it's a Chiron. It doesn't matter if it's like an RSI. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as I love it like that, I know people will also love it at that level. Mm-hmm. In it, you know,
yeah, of course.
So it doesn't have to be for me a Chiron. And now I'm in the middle of a, I don't know what I want to do now because there's so many options. There's a lot of depreciation coming in right now with the amount of cars that are coming out at the same time, with the subscription models, with all electric, with how amazing even the cheap cars are now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Also, another thing to factor in with the Chiron or the Concept 2. Let me ask you this: how much is an oil change on the C2?
There's no oil,
so you save $21,000 there. How much are tires? How much are, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you gotta factor that stuff in. The C2 ain't got none of that stuff.
None, and maintaining those electric cars is cheaper than anything.
And then when you do need some sort of service, they just log in
OTA, over the air.
And let me ask you this: why do tires cost $90,000 on the Bugatti, right?
Bugatti reduced their margins by a lot, but also they're still very expensive.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to speak to Mate and ask him, like, what's up with the tires? Why do they have?
Now Bugatti is just on a.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. I mean, obviously the tires are custom to the car, and there's limited customers, and you know the setup and production that the tire company has to do.
But it should be too for this
is
for
expensive.
The C2.
Yeah.
Because the C2 has more power. That means the problem. Think about this.
Yeah.
Bugatti's thing was, we have so much torque that whenever the tires spin, when you do a full acceleration, the rem and the tire disconnect from each other. Mm. Like, you'll spin the tire, but not the wheel, but not the rem. So what they said was, I'm sorry, you'll spin the rem, but not the wheel. Yeah. So they said, to fix that problem, we had to glue the tire on top of everything. So after three times we glue the tire to the wheel, I'm sorry, you need to replace both the rem and the tire. But now, the Concept 2 has so much power and torque. Yeah.
More.
Like, way more. Do you agree with that? Like,
absolutely.
If you were going to shake down the two of them on a straight,
it does.
Which
it
one
does.
Would destroy the pavement more, and the concrete would be the C2?
And it's instant torque on the fucking...
No, you're
so,
right.
So the question is, how come Mate didn't have to pay $30 million for each tire, and Bugatti did? So now I feel a little stupid.
Maybe he did.
With this, I feel a little played and stupid with Bugatti. Because when Koenigsegg was saying, we're going to break the speed record and all of that, my safety net on it was, there's no way they're going to do that. Bugatti had to develop tires.
Yeah.
And Bugatti kept making up excuses as to, we don't want to get to this speed because of tires. Meanwhile, Koenigsegg shows up in the middle of the fucking desert in Nevada and goes, hey guys, you got some Michelin tires on? Okay, no problem. Put the Michelin on. Bam! That was a middle finger to me and what I knew and what Bugatti had told me about it.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
I also feel like a Bugatti has to have $80,000 tires. And so they go and design it in a way where they're like, can justify why it's so much.
Listen, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying I would like to know why. If it's real.
The tire on your Rolls, right? Hold on. Do you remember it went out and they told us the price? What number were you thinking it was going to be?
$2,000.
Okay. What number were you thinking it was going to be? The tire.
I can't remember what it was. Like 5,000.
It was $500.
$500.
And then we were all like, "Huh? Is something wrong with the tire? Or are you sure it's a good enough tire?
Yeah, this must not be the right tire for the car."
Wow.
but it's only because based on perception.
It's all perception.
But these Bugattis are ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that was a good market for a while. The crazy expensive, we're the only ones.
But he owned it 10 years ago.
But they're not the only ones anymore. Yeah. This is a different market. This is a different world we're living in. And you can't, actually, you can get away with it because he's selling Bugattis.
But remember these tires, though, it's not so much that it's the composite. Like, it's not that. It's also the size of the tire and the mold and everything as well. I get it, but like,
I want to know.
There's really good racing tires that are the same size as for some of these street cars. You know, it's just, you know, they have them available. So,
but they're slicks.
The C2, no, not just the slicks. I'm talking about like the P0s and all of that, because the C2 is on P0s, right? So the size of those already exist, is what I'm saying. The size.
But aren't those slicks?
They're semi, but they're not like slicks.
Semi,
like,
so ACR, yeah, ACR tires.
Exactly. Okay. More along those lines. So like there's already a mold and production line that's already created for that, where for like the Chiron, it's completely different size wheel, completely different girth and width of everything else.
No, we know, but what about the C2?
But that's what I'm saying is with that car, he already has something created that is that size.
But what we're saying is, then why would you engineer a car that needs to create $80,000 wheels when Matt is showing us that he can just select whatever?
If Michelin...
What I'm saying?
Wait, who is his tire with? Who is Remax's tire with?
I think it's Pirelli.
It's P0. If Pirelli's telling Remax, hey, I got this tire. It doesn't cost $80,000. Do you want to use it, right? I'm sure they went to Bugatti and also said, hey, we have this tire, and Bugatti was like, no, can you do me a favor? Can you glue it on there for me?
Bugatti, I'm sure, goes to them and says, hey, this is the this is the spec of the tire that we're doing. Boom, boom, boom. It needs to be this size. Here, go make it. And then they come back, say, here it is. It's like $1,000 a tire. Okay, boom. Since this is custom for us, we're gonna mark up the price.
Mark it up,
right? Like that.
They own their own market.
That's how you do it.
What we're saying is you might not be anymore at a position where you
can
do that.
I think we're saying the same thing. I'm just saying that it's not the composite. It's not about the composite and the technology.
No, because anyone can do it, even cheap tires.
Yeah, it's more about the sizing and the engineers working to what fits
towards adapting whatever is the perfect size for that.
They gave them two. They gave two options: with glue or without glue.
Without
and
glue.
They said, which one's more expensive? They said, with glue.
Let's take that.
I think there is. It is really cool though with the wheels, how they created these, because you know it has the cover on the wheel.
Do you know why? Right.
Of course I know. I don't know.
Can you tell me? I don't know.
Okay. So Farshad, there's covers on the wheels right here.
Yeah, I saw that, which I don't like. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. So one, the main reason that they're like that is it increases drag efficiency or decreases drag efficiency.
So
it makes it more aero.
No more air can come into the wheel and create a...
Okay. Which is, for most cars, it's an important thing to have because you need something to get in there and cool the brakes and stuff.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, because this has regenerative braking already into it, it's already bringing in the cool air and the type of it's giving it an environment to where the brakes and everything stay cooler.
Cool. Got it.
Rather than, you know, overheating. But...
Well, it's transforming that heat into electricity.
Yes.
Right? With that process, the wheels don't get that hot. Process keeps going. Okay. And then he allows to put those on, better drag efficiency. And at the same time, he can customize anything you want on those.
They kind of look like spinners.
They do a little bit.
I agree.
I know.
They look
can you ask Matt if they spin?
I think the second or third version of that is going to be epic.
A spinner.
Like a G-Unit chain? Yeah. Hey, Matt, what's up with the G-Unit chain?
Would Matt get mad if someone put dubs on there?
Get out of here.
I don't think, but of all people, I don't think Matt would care. And you're right. Oh, we got to wrap it up already?
Yep, got to wrap it up.
Wow, that was a quick one. That's what she said. Yeah. Farghini, do we
let's
the good
news? Let's get some good
news,
bad news.
Bye, Farghini.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Hold on. We got this. Good news, bad news.
And that one died.
It's okay. That one's on.
Here we go. I like this one. Okay, here we go. Actually, we're talking about Remax. My first one is a Remax.
What is the good news?
Good news, bad news.
A lot of good news coming out of Remax.
Okay. Richard Hammond influenced the design of the new Remax Concept 2. That's actually great news.
Yeah. That is good news.
Yeah.
Safety. What's the bad news?
Oh, sorry, Alejandro. I don't think you're going to fit in this one.
I will because he's small. According to your joke, I should.
He's too small. Okay, here we go. AMG. We're talking about AMG.
What's the good news?
AMG says that the Project 1 could be the fastest car ever on the Nürburgring.
I believe that. What's the bad news?
Like the fastest one.
Yeah, what's the bad news?
Oh, shit. The Lamborghini editor was not available.
So it might not be the fastest.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Well, it could be the fastest if he was available.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Some Ferrari news.
Oh, boy. What's the good news there?
Ferrari allegedly considering 250 GTO Continuum Series.
250 GTO Continuum,
Continuum Series.
So they're going to... Wait. They're going to continue that?
The Continuum Series.
To the 250 GTO, the legendary. That is good news for every Ferrari guy. What's the bad news?
They just discovered the Continuum Series already exists for most of their cars.
What's and next, Parkini?
Our last one. Actually, we're talking about the Bugatti Chiron as well.
Oh, boy. Are you roasting me with this?
So the Bugatti Chiron Sport is 40 pounds lighter and faster in corners.
That is good news.
That's actually great news.
What's the bad news?
Current Bugatti Chiron owners just became $400,000 lighter.
Ooh. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
Hey, you guys got a hand.
We got it done right.
Yeah.
We got it done right. I think with that one, we're going to close the show. Thank you to everyone that went to Salamandry.com and gave us some topics to talk about. We, of course, couldn't be doing this show without you guys. It wouldn't be as good. So thank you very much for those suggestions, for those ideas, for those topics, for all the material that you shared with us. We really appreciate it. Buddy, it was a pleasure seeing you here today.
You as well.
Farghini, it was a pleasure seeing you right here.
Farghini was okay seeing today.
And it's going to be a pleasure handling
Spending
our meeting right
every
now.
Every fucking minute.
Absolutely.
With you.
I'm 100 people, and we do not approve this message. Thank you very much for listening. Take care.
Fucking weird.